Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Yes, I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. Welcome, 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 church. Amen. Good to see all of you this morning on the line. Hallelujah. As we just celebrate the Lord on this last Sunday in the month of August. Hallelujah. It's been a wonderful, a glorious year. God has done great things this year. Many things have happened, and hallelujah, he's still holding the whole world in his hand. Amen, amen. We're going to have Pastor Mom open us up in a word of prayer. Praise God, Pastor Mom.
Good morning, everybody. Lord, thank you for being with us and standing by us and holding us in the hollow of thine own hand. Bless our president and give him wisdom, knowledge, and a good understanding. Bless all of the people of the United States. Lead us and guide us. Bless us with service in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mom.
You're welcome.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, this is a wonderful day. And as we get ready to go into service, I just wanted to remind people, you know, the song that's sung in the beginning, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. That's sung by Sister Charlene McDowell, and her and her family are just going through a serious challenge right now. They just buried her brother this past week, and also her 18-year-old daughter, Angelina, who is a walking miracle of the Lord, has been going through cancer treatments for the past 6 years. And today she's in the hospital. And so we are really praying for her today. I believe she's feeling better, but she was in they're giving her a new treatment and to combat the tumors in her body, and it's doing a number on her body, you know, lots of pain. And so we're praying for her, and I just even want to start off with that prayer this morning, even before we go any further. Father, in the name of Jesus, we join our faith together with Sister McDowell, her husband, her family, Lord God, all that are praying for her family all over the world. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you just arise over Angelina right now, who is a walking miracle of the Lord, with healing in your wings in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for taking every tumor out of her body, obliterating it right now with your blood, the cleansing, healing, purging blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father God, for taking all of the pain out of her body. They said that morphine was not even stopping the pain for a while. And so, but that she was feeling better last evening. So we thank you, Lord God. We know it's you, Lord God. You work better than even morphine, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we're standing and believing your word for Angelina, who is a walking miracle of the Lord, for her complete and total healing, health, and wholeness. And we give you praise and glory. And Lord God, we continue to lift the family up. Give them peace, Lord God, peace beyond all understanding. Guard their hearts and their minds in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we know that people who are here with us today, that people are going through things as well, Lord God. And so we know that you're God of everything. Hallelujah. And so we continue to lift up all of the families, even represented here today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God that healeth thee. So all of us, Lord God, who's in need of healing, we thank you right now for complete and total healing, health, and wholeness. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Let's go to our scripture for today. In the name of Jesus, Psalm 100. We're going to say Psalm 100 this morning, the entire Psalm 100. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. The entire Psalm 100. And then we'll go to Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. Thank you, Lord God. And even as we go, once again, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for just taking care of every technical issue, even right now. We give you praise for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty and holy name, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Pastor Price, I'm opening up your line. You know, put yourself on mute. I don't know what's going on, but some things are going on. I want to make sure your line is open. Praise God, hallelujah. Psalm 100, amen. Psalm 100, hallelujah. Let's read. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We're going to start that over. Psalm 100. We're reading the entire Psalm 100. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come before his presence. Excuse me. I'm sorry, you guys. Let's start over. Psalm 100. I'm multitasking big time over here. Amen. Let's start over. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And then Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. Let's read that together. I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
We're reading that together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. So we have been magnifying the Lord. Hallelujah. If you've been here before, I think all of you have been here before. So we were magnifying the Lord. We magnified the Lord from A to Z, telling the Lord who he is to us from A to Z. And so for many weeks, we would open the lines and you all would say who the Lord is to you. Amen. So for a little while here, we still want you to collect and just have it in the forefront of your mind, who the Lord to you. When you're reading your Bible, write down some more of who the Lord is to you. Amen. When you're listening to music, and you hear another, something else about the Lord, write it down. I know people just want to say, one thing, but I believe that the Lord wants us to have a whole repertoire of who he is. And he keeps emphasizing that to me. Amen. And one of the reasons why is I believe that once we know more about who he is, we can trust him more, look for more, expect more of what he's doing, and also to even know who we are in him. Amen. So today, I've been collecting songs of who the Lord is. Amen. For the past several weeks. So this is one that, I love this song. And it talks about who the Lord is, and she sings it so well. And the name of the song is Lord, You're Holy. Hallelujah. So we're going to start with that this morning. Amen. So
holy,
you're holy,
Lord, we're
Wonderful, glorious, holy and righteous, victorious conqueror, triumphant and mighty, healer, deliverer, our shield and defense, our strong tower and our best friend, omnipotent, omnipresent, soon coming king. Hallelujah. He's all that and even more. Amen. Amen. I hope you caught some of that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the name of that song was Lord, You Are Holy. Amen. Yes, he is. He is holy. Hallelujah. And so we just thank God. Thank God for that word today. Amen. And even as you know, these songs that say who the Lord is, even as we sing these songs and call him out like that, things begin to happen in the spirit realm. Good things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's go to our declarations today. Amen. The word says in Job 22 and 28, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Hallelujah. Yes. So we're declaring and we're decreeing some things. Glory to God. We're establishing things by the Spirit of the true and living God. Hallelujah. And light is shining because we know there's a bunch of darkness around there. We got to keep the light going. Hallelujah. I have a lamp in my bedroom that I really like that lamp. Praise God. And then the switch wouldn't work on the lamp. It just wouldn't work. And so I tried, you know, and it just wouldn't work. And then I took it to a shop and had it fixed. And I was so glad to have the light back. Amen. And the Lord wants us to have the light that shines even upon our ways in the name of Jesus. And Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God stands forever. Hallelujah. So we want his word to stand forever. It will. So when we stand on his word, hallelujah, it stands forever. Praise God. Let's go through some of our declarations today. This is one of our main ones. And I'm so glad about this declaration. Before we knew of any coronavirus, Delta virus, Lambda virus, before we knew of any of that, the Lord had us praying this prayer, and we give him praise for it. So repeat after me. Christ has redeemed me,
Christ has redeemed me
from the curse of the law.
Therefore,
I forbid any sickness or disease to come up on my body. Every disease, germ, allergy, allergic reaction, and every virus that touches my body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. Every organ and every tissue of my body functions that God created it to function. And I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's from Galatians 3:13, Romans 8:11, Genesis 1:31, and Matthew 16:19. Amen. Amen. And, you know, it's important when we say these declarations that we're fully engaged in it. Amen. Be fully engaged. This is the word of God right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And the more fully engaged you are, even if you don't think you need it right now, we're going to need the word of God to stand for us in all these situations that's going on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Repeat after me, I have no lack.
I have no lack.
For my God meets all my needs. According to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Amen. Hallelujah. Last one. God is on my side.
God is
with me now.
Who can be against me?
He has given me everything,
I need for life
and godliness.
Therefore,
I participate in his divine nature
of love.
Amen. That's from Romans 8:31, 2 Corinthians 6:16, John 10:10, and 2 Peter 1:3-4. Hallelujah. And if any of you want these declarations for yourself, text me. I'll send it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, I feel some of you saying, well, I thought Pastor Price was going to be on today. Well, she is. She is. We do have a special guest, actually a guest church today. The Memphis Covenant Faith Church is our guest church on today. So we're going to go through a few more things, and then when it comes time for our sermon time, we're going to turn it over to the Memphis Covenant Faith Church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to play a praise song, and this is a song I'm trying to remember how it came back to me. I was ministering, and then this song that I sang many years ago came back to me, and it just blessed me so much, and I just was in tears over the song. And so we're going to play that song this morning, and Pastor Price was thinking about this song as well. And the name of the song is I Will Never Be the Same Again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, let's hear that now and just bless the Lord with it. Hallelujah. I'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Once we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. That's a very special song to me. Amen. When I've been saved for a long time, but when I really made that decision to follow the Lord with all my heart, with every part of me, I knew I would never be the same again. Praise God. And I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, can identify with that. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's do our giving first. Hallelujah. We're going to pray our prayer over our finances. Hallelujah. That is still so needed, even in this time of the wealth transfer. I've even heard people, secular people, talk about the wealth transfer. Amen. And trillion dollars. We're hearing trillions of dollars in the air. I don't think in my lifetime I've heard the word trillion be said so many times. But there's trillions of dollars that's in the atmosphere right now. Hallelujah. So God is doing something right now. And I believe that those of us that, hallelujah, who are giving, you know, the word says what he's going to do for us as we give. And we want to pray over our finances to just commit them to the Lord and to do what the Lord says to do over our finances. So, amen. And the Lord gave us this prayer for finances, and this was just before the pandemic. You know, he gave this to us, and so we're continuing on with it because it has been a blessing to us. Hallelujah. So repeat me, Lord,
I commit
my finances
to
you.
Be in charge of them
and use them
for your purpose.
May I be
a
good steward
of all you give me.
And walk in total agreement as to how it's to be dispersed.
Help
me to remember that all I have belongs to you and to be grateful for it.
Give
me wisdom to handle money wisely. May I always
be paid
well
for
the work I do.
And
may
my money
not be stolen,
lost,
devoured,
destroyed,
or
wasted.
Multiply
it
so that what I
make
and
what I
have
will
go a long way.
I pray
that
I will not be
anxious
about
finances,
but
will seek your kingdom
first,
knowing
that
as I
do,
I will have
all
I need.
In
Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen,
amen.
I was
listening
to my nephew. He's
a
pastor, Pastor Maurice.
I
was listening to his
testimony
this morning
about
finances,
and
it
blessed
me so much
about,
you know,
what
God is doing
in
his life.
And
2 years
ago,
he was saying,
years
ago,
he
was a pastor of a church
in
Oklahoma City. And
with
1,600
members
in the church,
had
a good
salary
coming in,
built
a
house
during
that
time,
had
a 401k,
and
insurance
that
was
so
good
that
his
two daughters
that
were born
while
he was there
at the church,
they had
to pay
nothing
for
that.
And so you know,
the
Lord told
him
to
come
back
to
St.
Louis
and to
pastor
the
church
that his mom and dad found it, I think it's been about 28 years or so, for him to pastor the church. And so, and the church has about 20 members in the church. And so he would be coming back to a church with no salary, no 401k, no insurance, all of that. But the Lord told him to come back. And then I won't tell all of his testimony, but this is the part that just really blessed me. His wife sat down and figured out how much money they would need for a year to live off for a year with all of the expenses they had and everything. And so she wrote that down. And before they left Oklahoma, some people asked them to come over, and they gave them the exact amount that his wife had figured out that they needed to live on for 1 year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that was such a blessing, you know, just to be obedient to what the Lord is saying to do. There was no way that they could have figured out, you know, that God was going to have people collect money for them like that. I mean, it was just awesome. So God is doing some things, and for us to just be obedient, do it the way that the Lord tells us to do it. We won't be able to figure it out, but with our obedience, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So now there are three ways that you can give to the East St. Louis Christian Center Church via our Cash App. And the Cash App is $ESLCCC. Praise God. In the building, you can come to the door, 2E, or you can mail a check payable to ESLCCC at 2800 Olive Street, number 2E, St. Louis, Missouri, 63103. Amen. And you all have been doing all that. Now, today we do have a guest speaker, and so when you give today, we will make sure that our guest church will get a good offering. Amen. So go ahead and send it to ESLCCC, and we're going to take what you give to us, and we're going to put it together with what we have, and we're going to bless the Memphis Covenant Faith Church. Amen. Amen. So, you know, any offerings you have today, if it's a special one just for that you just want to go to Pastor Price, put that in the notes on your Cash App. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll make sure, because, you know, Pastor Price, I'm halfway giving her introduction, but, you know, she's the founder of the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. Amen. So we're going to make sure that she is taken care of. Glory to God. And also Minister Joy and Minister Amber that's going to be with her today. Praise God. So let's pray over our offering right now. And Lord God, we just thank you and praise you right now. We bless you, Lord, for those who are tithing today, giving that 10%, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. You said that you would just test us and try us on this, or test him and try him on this, and give 10% and see, won't he open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, this overflow, too much to receive. Hallelujah. And then those who are giving, he says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. There's the overflow again. Hallelujah. That he would have men to give unto your bosoms in the name of Jesus. And then we always stand on Deuteronomy 1, 10, and 11. Hallelujah. And as we said in our declaration, this is established in our life. the thousandfold blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, that he'll make us a thousandfold more than we are right now in money and things that money cannot begin to touch. So, Lord God, we just bless you for this, Lord. We honor you. We adore you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for just doing exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or even imagine. Hallelujah for each and every one of us. And we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So now we praise God. I'm so excited about our guest church. Today is the fifth Sunday. And so we're having them to be here, the Memphis Covenant Faith Church, to be with us on the Sundays. And there's not that many of them during the year. And so we're so happy, just so blessed to have them here with us. Amen. So Pastor Price, I think most of you know who she is. Like I said, she's the founder of the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. Amen. She has been such a blessing in all of our lives. I consider her as my spiritual mother because the Lord used her in such a great way to help birth through everything that he has placed in my life. And so I'm very grateful to God for what he has done. Looking also forward to hearing from her and from Minister Joy and Minister Amber, as the Lord says the same. Amen. So without any further ado, we're going to turn this service over to the Memphis Covenant Faith Church with Pastor Price. Praise God, as a senior pastor. Welcome, Pastor Price.
All glory to God. God bless you, Apostle Kizzy. I just thank God for you and Pastor Mom. Good morning, Pastor Mom and Apostle Kizzy, and to all of the precious saints. Oh, thank you, Mom. And you did great this morning on the prayer. I thank God for you. And Apostle, I truly thank God for all that you've done. It was just an anointing over every part of this service, even thus far. We were just praying with you, enjoying the ministry with the songs, and thanking God for the declarations that you did. Thank you so much, Apostle Kizzy. And then thank you so much, Apostle, for all that the Lord does in and through you in the care and taking care of our mom. That is a ministry in and of itself. And we pray continually that God may continue to just keep and strengthen you and continue to give you the grace of God, that special ability, that special endowment that you need to be able to do all that God has called you to do. And I want to thank you also that I'm so honored. I really, really am so honored that you would ask our church to participate today in the fifth services. That's such a great blessing. And I appreciate you and all the precious members of East St. Louis Christian Center Church. I thank God for each one of you that are members of East St. Louis Christian Center Church, and to those who will listen to this broadcast at another time, I thank God for each one of you all today, and may God meet each one of you, no matter what year it is or what time it is. I ask God this day to meet each one of you at the point of your need, whatever that need might be, as Apostle has said, that God would strengthen you in your bodies, that he would heal and touch you from the top of your head to the very soles of your feet, that God in Jesus' name will meet your provisions. When I said from the top of your head, somebody's drawing on that anointing right now. As you're doing that, I remember my dad said that when he was younger, he had keloids all on his face. And somebody used to say, I didn't think so because I never saw him look like that. They would say my dad was an ugly man because he had keloids all around him. And I remember he said one day he was listening to a radio program and he laid his hands. I think it might have been A.A. Allen. I may be wrong in that. But he laid his hands on the radio. And after that, God took those keloids down off of his face. And so there's somebody here, and you got your phone there. While you got your phone as a point of contact, lay your hands upon yourself right now in the name of Jesus. And as we do so, we come in obedience, Lord God, to you and your word. and to you, and to even to be able, Lord God, to use the name that you've given us, which is your name, Lord Jesus, that's above every name. In the name of Jesus, I speak to all weakness, sickness, disease, infirmity, pain, and discomfort. To whoever's listening now, those who may be listening, not only at a later time, it may be 100 years from now, you may be listening to this, and God says, I want to meet you at the point of your need. I want you healed, for healing is now the children's bread. It belongs to us through you, Lord Jesus Christ. So I speak to all weakness, sickness, disease, infirmity, pain, and discomfort to your body. I rebuke the root of it. I rebuke the source of it, and charge and command it in Jesus' name to leave you now in Jesus' name and never come back in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, I see. I'm telling you, and this is no imagination. I feel the anointing of God going forth right now. Hallelujah, resting upon your shoulders, going through. That's that abiding anointing of God coming from the top of your head down to the soles of your feet. In the Old Testament, Moses would say, Lord, show me your glory. And in the New Testament, in Colossians 1 and verse 27, it says, Jesus Christ is a mystery that's been hid from the ages, which is Jesus Christ in us, the hope, the expectation of his glory. In the New Testament, we can expect his glory because Jesus Christ is on the inside of us. So even now, his abiding anointing is on the inside of us right now, going from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, destroying and annihilating and obliterating all weakness, sickness, disease, infirmity, pain, and discomfort, and every bondage and habit in the name of Jesus from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. And while you're there, just say, Lord, I decree and declare, say it, I decree and declare, and I receive healing right now in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, we thank you. And then we thank you for making provision, Father God, for every man, woman, boy, and girl. You said that the anointing, the prosperity is the elementary thing of the anointing. What? Prosperity is the elementary thing of the anointing? Oh, yes, you said it. For you told us in Romans 8 and verse 32 that if you gave your son for us, how would you not also with him freely give us all things? What a wonderful testimony. Pastor Will, they wrote it down. They made the vision plain, and then God fulfilled the vision for them and gave them the provision that they needed. So we thank you, Lord, for giving every man, woman, boy, and girl on this line, both now and later on here at East St. Louis Christian Center, and later on, giving each one the provision, prosperity, plenty, provision, abundance, and more than enough so that they too may be blessed to be a blessing unto others. Thank you, Lord God. In Deuteronomy 8:18, you said you give us the power to get wealth, that your covenant may be confirmed and established as you swore unto our fathers as it is this day. So we worship you today, Lord God. We thank you for this service. We thank you for Apostle Kizzy and Pastor, Lord God, Willie B. McCoy. We thank you for Pastor Mom. We thank you for this service at East St. Louis Christian Center. And we thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for being in our midst. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God Almighty. For we even now, as they said, we sense your anointing. We feel your anointing. We know we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by feelings. But there are times that you will let us know you're right there. So we thank you now, Lord God, for confirming your word today with signs and with wonders and meeting every man, woman, boy, and girl who's listening today at the point of their need. Oh, Lord God, hold Rabasia. Thank you, Lord God, for blowing upon us by your spirit, for coming upon us, precious Holy Spirit. For you said in the last days you would pour out of your spirit upon all flesh. Let your precious Holy Spirit and your anointing, your power, and your presence come upon us even the more anew today, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, Lord God. And as that song says, we will never be the same. We will never be the same. We will never be the same anymore in Jesus' name. And we give you glory. We give you much praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you all so much. And thank you, Lord God. Now, the first one, as we begin in service today, we thank God for what he has done already and what he's yet going to do. The first one we will have to minister today is Minister Joy, my daughter Joy Price, and she's going to come in her own way as the Holy Spirit would have her to go. And then as soon as she finishes, Minister Amber is going to share what God has had for her to do. The Lord told me that word minister is a catch-all, C-A-T-C-H, catch-all. In other words, whatever it is, where if you're an ambassador, you're a minister of God. You know, if you're a sister, you're a minister in God. As we minister forth and serve the Lord, because we're serving him in gladness. And as they come today, we thank God for them coming in their own way. I'm going to ask Minister Joy, when you come and give us the title of your message, when you give us the title, because as you know, every Sunday, I always write down what you say. And I want you to give us the title, you and Minister Amber, give us the title of your message, and then give us the scripture. Now, repeat it more than one time. When you do it, repeat the message, the title again, so I can make sure I get it down. And if you have scriptures you want us to just put down for our own, if not, we'll just listen to it in your word. But make sure you give the title more than one time. Glory to God. God bless you and love you. And now, Joy, Minister Joy, it's in your hands in Jesus' name. Glory to God.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
The title is Spiritual Driving. Spiritual Driving. Today's scripture comes from Ephesians 5:15-16. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. It says, I don't remember many specifics about my driver's education class, but for some reason, the acronym LEARN, S-I-P-D-E, remains firmly lodged in my memory. The letters stood for scan, identify, predict, decide, and execute, a process we were taught to practice continually. We were to scan the road, identify the hazards, predict what the hazards might do, decide how we'll respond, and then, if necessary, execute that plan. It was a strategy for being intentional to avoid accidents. I wonder how the idea might translate to our spiritual lives. In Ephesians 5:6-20, it says, don't let anyone trick you with foolish talk. God punishes everyone who disobeys him and says foolish things. So don't have anything to do with anyone like that. You used to be like people living in the dark, but now you are people of the light because you belong to the Lord. So act like people of the light and make your light shine. Be good and honest and truthful as you try to please the Lord. Don't take part in doing those worthless things that are done in the dark. Instead, show how wrong they are. It is disgusting even to talk about what is done in the dark. But the light will show what these things are really like. Light shows up everything. Just as the scripture says, wake up from your sleep and rise from death. Then Christ will shine on you. Verse 15, it says, act like people with good sense and not like fools. They are evil times. So make every minute count. Don't be dumb. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. Don't destroy yourself by getting drunk, but let the Spirit fill your life. When you meet together, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs as you praise the Lord with all your heart. Always use the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to thank God the Father for everything. That was Ephesians 6 through 20. Okay, it says, in Ephesians, Paul told Ephesian believers, be very careful then how you live. Don't, not as unwise, but as wise. Paul knew certain hazards could derail the Ephesians. Old ways of living at odds with their new life in Jesus. So he instructed the growing church to pay attention. The words translated, be very careful, then how you live, literally means see how you walk. In other words, look around, notice hazards, and avoid personal pitfalls like gossip, drunkenness, or living wild. Instead, the apostle said, we can to learn God's will for our lives. Well, the fellow believers, we seem to give him thanks. No matter what hazards we face, and even when we stumble, we can experience our new life in Christ as we grow in dependence on his boundless power and grace. As Heavenly Father, as we navigate the spiritual pothole of life's road, thank you for reminding us to look up to you for help. In Jesus' name, amen. And the acronym again is SIPDE. Scan, identify, predict, decide, and execute. Amen.
Okay. Do it again for me one more time. Say it again for me. That acronym for me one more time.
S is for scan. I is for identify, P is for predict, sign, and E is to execute.
Oh, S-I-P, SIPD, huh? See, and what is it? What do those letters stand for again?
S-I-P-D-E.
And what is it? What does the S and I-P-D stand for again?
Okay, it stands for to scan the world, identify hazards, predict the hazards might do, and decide how we respond to them, and execute the plan.
Oh, and describe. Okay, all right. Glory to God, and then execute. Thank you so much. I thank God for you, and thank God for that wonderful word, Joy, which is spiritual driving from Ephesians 5:15-16. And she gave that wonderful acronym, which was SIPDE, scan, identify, predict, describe, and execute. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we thank God for that word, and we give praise and glory and honor for that word. As I begin now, I was going to have for Amber to go next. She is also, we're multitasking this morning, and we give glory to God for her and thanking God for her being, you know, with us this morning. She was also asked to be a part of another service, so she's going to still come on with the word. But right now I'm going to go on and begin the word that the Lord has given unto me right now at this particular point, and then we'll come back with the word that the Lord has given through Amber. Glory to God. Also, where Joy is concerned, and her message on spiritual driving, this is being recorded, and so you can always get it in the archives of the Get 'Em God in the Mist radio program. So it's being recorded at this time. And, you know, I guess I must say that because as I began on mine, it's going to go fast and it's going to go quick. So I guess the main thing I tell my family and to the ones that listen, put your ears out. Your ear catches out, and perhaps if something is being said, it will go down into the spirit, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Did you know that faith doesn't come by reading? It comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You can read it now. You can read the word, but when you read it, say it out loud so it can get down, because there is, we'll talk about that in a few seconds as in our review, is that there are where there's a process that takes place in our lives where how things can come into motion. And one of the greatest we're going to talk about just for a few brief review, that the greatest warfare that takes place in our lives is between the ears. And so there's a process that takes place. Whatever we are out there, the enemy will try to affect what's between our ears through our eye gate. He'll try to affect it through our of course, our ear gate. And that's not just the devil, but the world and their interpretation of what things are. Our own flesh will try to be an enemy against us. Our own flesh. You can know that when you're on a diet or when you're trying to eat right, and the flesh will try to lead you to get to eat what he wants you to eat or and she wants you to eat. I'm talking about our flesh. And then we have the devil. We have the world's influence, our flesh influence, the devil's influence that will try to come in. And so what it will end up doing is affecting our ear gate and our eye gate so it can go down into our hearts. And then eventually what the enemy wants it to do is come out of our mouth. So what we want to do is, as we're hearing the word, I'm going to kind of go a little bit fast for time's sake and not to keep you all too long. But remember, you can go back to the archives and get the archives of what we're going to do today. Glory to God. During the last, about a month or so, on our program that we have and in our church, we've been doing what we call the Lord has been having us to do, a boot camp and basic trainings in spiritual warfare. And basic training in the armed forces, soldiers must be trained in values, in the creed of the service of the branch that they're entering, and in their weapons. They must be also trained in how to be dressed properly. That's one of the main things that they'll do is to train them when they're in their fatigues or when they're in their battleground or when they're in their T-shirts and regular fatigues. So, and as Christians, we too must be trained in the values and the creed of the Lord and in our weapons, the weapons of our warfare. And we too must be dressed properly as soldiers of the living God. Today we're going to focus on, well, God told us in Ephesians 6, verse 11 through 18, to put on the whole armor of God. Our focus today will be on the shield of faith. This shield is so very important because God says above all else, that's why we're only going to focus mainly on that one today, on that particular part of the armor is the shield of faith, because he tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And if he says to do something above all else, then you know it must be important. You know it must be important. So very quickly, before I go into that, I must do a quick review. The Holy Spirit said, do a quick review just for the sake of those who have not heard the beginnings of our boot camp and basic training in spiritual warfare. We've got to be, as we're in the basic training and spiritual warfare, it's always good to hear the word over and over again. Even as kindergarten teachers, my mom was a kindergarten teacher. And as a kindergarten teacher, one of the things that Pastor Mom and each one of kindergarten teachers do is by repetition. Having and doing the sense, it can get built down on the inside of the children. And then now we have where they have preschool. My good friend, Minister Treva, Reverend Treva Kelly, she was also a Head Start teacher. And that's really where the basics really began. If you can get good, one of the things that the kindergarten teacher looks for is, has a child had any training at all before they get into school? And a child that has not really had any training in the basic things of language and different things before they get in and when they're in before they get into kindergarten will be behind. So even in that, we have to be trained with repetition over and over again. And so it is with those who are in the service, in the Army, and in the different branches of the armed forces in America. Even I found out from my niece, Stacy, was our military guest on our program, and I tell you, she is a 5'2" powerhouse. She went into the service, went through that basic training, which is so rigorous. I've watched on YouTube some of the basic training, how they do basic training. I would recommend and challenge you to go look at some of the ways that they do basic training, especially in the Marines and the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, even the Secret Service, when they have to be trained. And look at some of the ways that they do with the military police, how these ones have to be trained. And one of the things that they tell you is, if you come into the service and you have not even learned your values, you have not learned the core things that you need before you even get into basic training, how to take that weapon apart, Some have an M16, some an M13. If they don't know how to take that rifle apart and put it, clean it and put it back together, by the time they get into the basic training now, when they get into basic training, they won't know what to do. And so my niece, she became a recruiter and a recruiter of excellence, because she said there were people who would do underhanded things in order to get people to come into the military. But she said she, because she had the Lord in her life, she walked in integrity by his spirit. And she was not only the one who was called a recruiter, but a retention person to retain. She needed to retain the recruits that she put in there, because if you're, and the ideal thing she would do was, is that when she would have them to be recruited, and they would say yes to coming into the service, she would train them in advance. She would teach them about the values, because even the things you say are so important when you get in there. You've got to know the ranks. You've got to know the ranks of what you're involved in. You got to know the different ranks in there, you know, the generals, the captains, the sergeants, all of it. You got to know the ranks when you come into the military. Then you got to know your weapon. And she would train them how to do their weapon. And she said the majority of the people, I believe it was over 90%, they were retained because she trained them before they even got in. She said if she could get 3 months, and I often have said this in the spirit, if you will give a person in the Lord at least 3 months that they will consistently come to service on our get together and fellowship, because now we can do it by Zoom and other things. If you can get them for 3 months to come and sit up under the word, that's what it took for me too. When I first came into the Lord, it took me 3 months. I mean, I had received Christ many, many years before. I thought I had received Christ. But when I got into a ministry that was a teaching and training ministry, by the third month, it was like a light came on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. And so when we began to get in there, they would train them. She said, if I can get them for 3 months, and I can get them to come in for 3 months, and let me train them. She said, now some people will only give a month. Well, they're not going to be as good as that person that gave that 3 months. But she could teach them in the things of what kind of things they were going to be doing in basic training, and to be able to teach them how to take that weapon back and forth apart. And so they had to be trained. So that's what we've been doing, is that by the Spirit of God. And if you're already adept about spiritual warfare and you already know about the armor, all of the armor in depth, it's good to hear it again. It's good to hear it again. If you know about every one of those weapons of our warfare as Christians, you know, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, intercessory prayer, worship and praise is one of the weapons of our warfare, because we might just be one praise away from the victory. And other weapons that we have, there's several we've been going over, but that's not what our focus is on today. We're going to be talking about how to be dressed properly in the things of God, and with one particular dressing, which is the shield of faith that God has told us to above all else. So as we go through this review, remember, each time we go through it, there are new things. There are things that God is speaking to our hearts in order to set the course so we can go forth, and we won't suffer loss. We won't, because the enemy, his job is to constantly throw at us fiery darts in our minds, fiery darts on our job, fiery darts in so many areas. And we need to understand and know how to be able to stand. And when we've done all to stand, to continue to stand in the Lord. So the first thing in our review very quickly is that we must know who our commander-in-chief is in the Lord's army. And Hebrews 2 and verse 10 says, for it talked about him, it said, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus is called the captain of our salvation. It's the same word, that word captain is the same Greek word that's used in Hebrews 12:2 when it says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So Jesus is not only the captain of our salvation, but he is the captain of our faith. So put that down. We got to know. Remember, in your basic training, you got to know who's your commanding officer. We know who the commander-in-chief of the United States is, and that's the president, whoever the president is at that time. That's why we saw that when our civil order went forth right before January 6th, and the people descended upon the Capitol because they said their commander-in-chief had given them an order to come. We don't know how true that was. But they thought they were following the order. orders of their commander-in-chief and went to the top of the building in order to bring destruction, and people lost their lives at that time. And somebody said that many of them, some of them have been prosecuted, but they said many of them will get off scot-free because they said they were following the orders of their commander-in-chief. Well, our commander-in-chief is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Hallelujah. And he is the captain of our salvation and the captain of our faith. Now, we're going to be establishing in our review so that you can know that we're establishing that we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. We have an identity package in Jesus Christ. And we are actually soldiers in the army, whether you want to be or not. Listen, saints of God, if you're listening now or you're listening up into 2055, whatever year it is, or 3055, whatever, if Jesus tarries to come. If you're listening to this message, you've got to know when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you have an identity package. What it means is that you have an identity from God. And well, part of that identity is that you are a soldier of the Lord. Now, that's not your entire identity. I must say that it's not your entire identity, the word of God, because we've got to know the wholeness and the fullness of what God has called us to. We are also a part of the soldier. I'm going to come down and read that scripture in just a minute. But I want to be able to put into your spirit about your identity package. It is called that we are children of the living God. John 1 and verse 12 says, as many as has received him, to them has he given that right and power to become sons and daughters of God. You are a child of God first and foremost. Come on now, saints of God. We are children of the living God. We're chosen, and 1 Peter 2:9 says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, yes, this is a part of our identity package. Sometimes people are going to ask you, who are you? Oh, who do you think you are, they'll say. And they'll do it with vitriol, too. Who are you? Or who do you think you are? He was, I'm a child of God. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm God's own special people. And I proclaim the praises of him, my commander-in-chief, who's called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then, and again, that's 1 Peter 2:9. Then Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's workmanship. We're his workmanship. God don't make no junk. I know that that's ebonic. It's a double negative. But God don't make no junk. We're his workmanship. We're his masterpiece. You are his. Somebody ask you, who are you? I'm God's masterpiece. I'm his workmanship. And Ephesians 2:10 tells us that he's created us for a special purpose. Every one of us have been created. And you know what? We need to ask God. Sometimes we have it real backwards. We really do have it backwards. So backwards. We're living, we ask children, what do you want to be, baby, when you grow up? I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a lawyer because God had graced me to be able to love math and sciences. When I was younger, my whole aspiration was to become a doctor. And I said, when I finished going to medical school, I want to go right on into law school. And I want to go into law school because I want to be a doctor / lawyer. That was my aspiration as a little child because it was easy for me to do math and sciences. I love math. I love sciences, physics, chemistry, biology, those kinds of things. But God had another purpose and plan for my life. He honored me and called me until what I figure is one of the highest callings you can have, which is the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ. So God is you, each one of you all, ask God, Lord, what is the purpose plan? Make it so plain to me. Somebody said, we need to ask God, write it in crayons for me. In other words, do give it to me just like a little child. Make it so plain to me that I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. This, you know, this is a special pause right here as I'm giving this review. The Holy Spirit is saying to you today, if you're listening today, it's never too late. It's never too late. Ask God. Ask God. What is it that you call me to do? What is your purpose? What is your plan? What is your destiny that you have for my life? Make it so plain that even a little child would understand it, that I can know what you call me. I hear you. I hear you. Somebody here is already asking God that. You're listening to this today, and if you're listening in the future, then you're saying, yes, Lord, what is your purpose, plan, and destiny for my life? There are people who even started at 90-some years old. One man started at 90-some years old writing books. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have one of my special sheroes, which I think she's a doctor now, is Dr. Lily Pruden. I think she was 70-some years old when she got her doctorate. Glory to God. God, we're God's masterpiece. You're God's masterpiece. And then in Revelation 1:6, God goes on further and says, he has made us kings and priests unto our God. Do you know that you're king and you're a priest unto your God? Read Revelation 1:6 when you get a chance. And I believe it's Revelation 5:10 too. I said 5:6 the other day, but I think it's Revelation 5:10. And then the word of God says in Romans 8:17 that we're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Do you know that no matter what happens, if by virtue of you being an heir of God, God calls us in Romans 8:17, we're heirs of God and joint heirs. You're really going to have to go back and listen to the archives in this, glory to God. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, Romans 8:17. But right now, listen, and then go back and listen to the archive later on. We're an heir of God. We're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. In other words, we have an inheritance. You're already a wealthy person. If you're listening to this and your life is in Jesus Christ, you are wealthy. Why is that? Because your daddy is wealthy. The cattle on 1,000 hills are his. The silver and the gold is his. These are things we have to keep in the forefront of our mind and memory and never forget that we're an heir. We have to decree and declare. I decree and I declare because the word of God says in Job 22:28 says that if we would decree a thing, if we would declare a thing, it would be established unto us. So we decree and declare we're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm an heir. I have an inheritance. The silver and gold is mine. All of it that's counted on 1,000 hills. And in Jesus' name, I lay hold to it by faith, through faith and in faith. And then what we're coming at today in our basic boot camp is that we're soldiers of the Lord. We said, yes. Now, remember, the reason I have to go back over that quick review of our identity in Jesus Christ is because we've got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that's not our own identity. Only identity is as a soldier. The song says, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. 2 Timothy lets us know we're our soldiers. 2 Timothy 2:2-4 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. We've been chosen by God to be a soldier, whether you like it or not. And there's no discharge, the word of God says in Ecclesiastes. There's no discharge in this army. You're not going to retire. You're going to be in this army till the day you go to be with the Lord. And if you say, well, if the devil leaves me alone, I'm going to leave him alone. That's not so. We're soldiers in the army, and the word of God says no man warreth. So we're in a warfare. We're in a warfare whether we want to be or not. And then in 1 Corinthians 9:7, no soldier. Here again, we're called soldiers. 1 Corinthians 9:7, no soldier goes to warfare at his own expense. God says, you're in my army. I'm going to back you with my power. I'm going to back you with my character. I'm going to confirm my word in your life. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you the strength that you need to do what you need to do. Oh, soldier. And then when we stand before God, we're standing and saying, he's saying, attention. Hallelujah. We stand in attention before the great commander of everything, the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that dwelleth therein. We're soldiers. When we come in and receive Jesus as our Savior, our Lord and God, we can know that we're soldiers and we're in a warfare. You got to know you're in a warfare. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Oh, wait a minute. So there's war. There's that word war again. We don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, listen, saints of God, we said before, the main battle that's going on is between our ears. That main battle, that's why we have to cast down every vain imagination, every high thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. That's the first battle we got to, when we get up in the morning and throughout the day, that's not my thought. When the enemy brings something that we know is contrary to the word, it should be in our mouth like a trigger. That's not my thought. That's not my thought. And then we go to avenge it. And that's not my thought. It said in 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So remember again, our warfare is not carnal. is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we're told what to fight and who to fight. We're told to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12 says, then we must know that we're to fight the good fight of faith. Our warfare, I keep saying this over again, is not with your husband, your wife, your dog, your cat, your sister, your brother, your children, your parents, your neighbor, your friend, your employer, your coworker, your classmate, and not with your teacher or anybody else. It's not with flesh and blood. God will actually, through the discerning of spirits by his Holy Ghost, he will let you see what spirit's operating there. They may not even know that they're operating out of a spirit. But you'll begin to see a spirit. Sometimes it's pride, haughtiness, arrogance, superiority-mindedness. You might see a spirit of jealousy, envy, covetousness, and negative competitiveness. You might see a spirit of manipulation. And you say, I take authority over that spirit of manipulation, not only concerning others, but also concerning ourselves. You might be one that you'll begin to see something of low self-esteem, poor self-image, inferiority complexes. You might see somebody with a combative spirit, a control spirit, contempt, fault-finding, nitpicking, put down, aggravation, agitation, instigation. You'll begin to see those spirits, even in your animals. My niece that's in the military, she said how one day one of the dogs, it was like a spirit got on her, and the dog that loved her began to growl every time she would come near it. And then the man last night said his dogs on Friday night at the program said his dogs were acting up. He was wondering what kind of spirit. And let me tell you something. Some dogs can be able to have things on them, and you have to take authority over those spirits. Some people encourage those things in their dogs. Oh, no. We take authority over things that we see in our dogs and in our cats and in our children because every child is born a certain way. So we must remember and know that and understand that we're not fighting flesh and blood. We must know that the enemy of our soul is organized into ranks and have great wrath towards the saints of God. In Ephesians 6 and verse 12, it says, and it might seem like I'm going longer in the review, but I'm going to tell you, I'll be through. Amber, as you're getting ready, maybe in the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to be through now so you can come on in here. And Amber doesn't go very long, but we want to give this. The enemy is organized into four ranks, The word of God says in the word in Ephesians, and not only is he organized into ranks, we must understand he has come with great anger and wrath toward the saints of God. We're just giving you this so you can be aware that when we get ready to talk about that shield, and we're only going to hit on that shield of faith for a few moments, but in the sense of it, when you begin to see about, he said, above all else, putting on the shield of faith that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, you got to know something about the wicked one. You got to understand that you're a soldier. You got to understand that the shield of faith is a part of the armor of God, of the clothing that we're to wear on a daily basis. It's not just a la-la thing. Oh, I put on the whole armor of God. I put on the whole armor. And we just la-la-la-la. No, no, no. We are in a warfare. We are soldiers. You're a soldier, saint of God. You're a soldier in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. And as a soldier, we must be trained in the boot and the basics of what God has. And the armor of God is one of the basics, how you're to be wearing on a daily basis to put on. Because if when something blindsides us, you know, the enemy is only doing what he's doing. We've got to understand, and I've been in la-la land before. I have been in la-la land before. I didn't know that people can wager out even sexual things towards you. I didn't know that you can never see their face. You may not ever see them personally, but they'll wager out their spirits of lust. That spirit of lust is a spirit. Don't you entertain that thing. Don't you just say, I'm highly natured. I'm just a high natured person. Uh-uh. That's a spirit of lust that's dealing in that situation. And you rebuke it because that spirit of lust is treacherous. It has debilitation. It will take a pretty woman out of here. I've seen people that have went on and are a handsome man out of there. Because there are spirits that have been waged towards them. And they didn't know how to take authority over that spirit of lust. Rebuking it in Jesus' name. Renouncing it, rebuking it, charging it to get off of them. And then sometimes they don't know it, so it'll cause debilitation in their life. It'll cause them to be, because the thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and destroy. If he's wagering out through others a spirit of lust towards you, and you may say, oh, well, how does that feel? What does that feel like? And then all of a sudden you begin to get sick in your body. All of a sudden in different places where you didn't know you were going to be sick. That's what that will try to wrap around parts of the body. If you don't renounce it, if you don't rebuke them spirits of lust, you don't embrace that stuff. And so we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the word of God says that the enemy is organized into four ranks. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, number one, principalities. Number two, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, that's three, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then the word of God says in Revelation 12 and verse 12, it says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, great anger, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And we must remember in this that even though he's the enemy is organized into ranks, and even though he's very angry at us, we must remember this: the greater one, Jesus Christ, is in us. 1 John 4 and verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. He told us in his word in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power. In other words, Jesus said, I'm going to back you. Luke 10 and verse 19, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the work of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You're not a weakling over there. You're not a weakling to have to take his stuff. You're not a weakling that have to say, I just got to take this because I don't know any better. Go take my medicine. Go take my Advil. Go take my Tylenol. Go take my treatment. Yeah, do that. Because that's an expression of God's mercy and grace to relieve some of the pain that's on you. But when you get that thing relieved, some of that pain relieved, it can't get to the root and the source of it. You take authority over him and the power that God has given unto us. And then Romans verse 8:37 says, we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We're called by God as soldiers to resist the enemy. And 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 7 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Oh, saints of God, listen to me today. He cannot devour everybody. He's got to devour somebody that has given him permission out of their mouth. Because the mouth is one of the greatest weapons of our warfare. What we speak out of our mouth, many times he works with us in between those ears with lies and imaginations, and people begin to speak that foolishness out of their mouth and begin to agree. All he needs us to do is agree with what he says, to agree with what he says. And I'm convicted as I'm talking right now, because I think about when we talk about allergies, they made an allergy report. No, I'm not allergic to anything. I decree and declare. He said, you decree a thing. I'm not allergic to anything. And I pray, Lord God, every time I speak and say, I got any allergies, that's building it up. That's causing it to come. I'm agreeing with the enemy. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm not allergic to anything. I decree and declare it. So we have to be sober, be vigilant, because I am resist the devil. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. I'm going to say that one more time. It says, whom resist, verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. You got to resist something. That means that if it's got resistance to it, it don't want to move. So we have to resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So very quickly, our focus today will be on the shield of faith. This shield is so important because God says, above all else, taking the shield of faith. I'm going to read for you Ephesians 6. Verse 17, I'm watching my time. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high places, spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13 then says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. God said, now get clothed in this. Take unto you the whole armor of God, saints of God. Soldiers, I'm calling you to attention. They would say in the Navy, all hands on deck, all hands on deck. They'll say, attention, they'll say, attention. I'm saying to you, saints of God, attention. He said, take on you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. He's telling you how to stand your ground, how to stand your ground against the enemy, having your loins first gird about with truth. That's that first part of that armor. Gird yourself around with the truth of God's word. Having each one of these I can do individually, but we're going to focus on the one about the shield of faith. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, number two. That's such an important, like I said, I'm going to resist trying to go into each one individually. Verse 15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then it says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17 says, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer. And that one, like I said, each one, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, are ones you can go into individually, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer is really one of the weapons of our warfare. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We must keep our faith strong to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked ones. Apostle Kizzy has greatly encouraged us by the precious Holy Spirit over the last few years to be on ready with our faith. We got to be on ready, saints of God. We can't lay our armor down. We can't forget that we're in a warfare. We can't forget that we're soldiers in the army of God. Some of us have suffered loss as a result. That's why God has me preaching this so hard, because we cannot put our weapons to the side. We cannot stop and remember, oh, I'm in la-la land. Yeah, things are going. And I'm going to tell you something. When things are going better and things are going good and things are going good, that's the time you really got to be aware that you are a soldier in the army of God. No, we're not saying that we got to be scared about anything. No, but we have to be on watch for it. That's why he said watch as well as pray. We got to watch as well as pray. So we understand that we need to keep our faith strong in order to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Going very quickly as we close, in Hebrews 11:6 it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to keep that faith strong. And he says, faith comes by hearing, not having heard. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing on a continual basis. Some of you, well, if you're led, you need to go back and listen to this again. I've gone very quickly. You need to go back and listen to this word. Get it down in your spirit. I'm a soldier in the army. That's not my only, that's only a part of my identity package, but I'm a soldier in the army of God. I'm in a warfare. We have to understand that. The word of God says about faith, it says that it's one of the big three. It says it's faith. Now there's faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And do you understand that faith works by love? Love is the operating system. In order to get a computer to work, you need an operating system. And faith and love is the operating system of faith. Love is the greatest, but faith is a part of the big three. But I'm going to tell you something. Although love is the greatest of these three, Jesus said in Luke 18:8, when he comes back, when he returns, he didn't say, will he find love? He didn't say, will he find hope? He said, will he find faith on this earth? Luke 18:18. And we must understand and know and become fully persuaded. Faith is not a movement, but it is a way of life for every single believer. There are four places in the Bible that says that the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just, the righteous will live by his faith. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11 says, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And faith in its simplest form is really trusting God, leaning, relying, and trusting in him. And this is so important because we need that faith in order to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And without trusting God, it is impossible to please him. In Hebrews 11:6. Because he that believes in God must believe that he exists, and he's a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. There's so much that we could go through about this in faith. But we must understand, as I close today, we must remember, even in this, that we above all else, we need to take the shield of faith to quench every single fiery dart of the enemy as soldiers in the living God. And we must understand that in this warfare, we're going to need our faith. And we must understand that God has given every one of us a measure of faith. And we understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It didn't say that faith comes by having heard, but by hearing continually in the word of God. We must remember to keep our faith strong in him so that it can quench every. So when the enemy comes in, we can decree and declare, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. every tongue that will rise against me shall be declared to be in the wrong. We can declare Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all my need according to his riches. We need to be decreeing and declaring that daily. My God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We need to decree and declare that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ, that I am protected under the shadow of God's wing and under the ark of the safety of the blood of Jesus, that I'm free in Jesus Christ, for whom the Son is set free is free indeed. We need to keep our faith strong, that above all else, taking the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And then we can understand, as the apostle said, even many during this time, that that's why he wants us to be on ready with our faith. And I'm going to ask this with it, be on ready with our shield of faith. Oh, saints of God, I praise God for today. So it's 12:36, and I know that I've gone, but I wanted to be able to say that by the Spirit of God, what he gave for me today, that the shield of faith is so important. If you don't do anything else, above all else, keeping that shield of faith. Because he's coming back. And when he comes back, he said, well, I find faith on this earth. So God bless each one of you today. I'm going to ask Minister Amber is ready. Will she come with the word that the Lord has for her? Minister Amber, are you ready today? If you do, open up your line. I don't know if Apostle, if Amber's line is open, but if it is, could you open Amber's line up?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I want to say God bless everyone, and I'm so honored to be a part of this service today. And I want to say God bless you all. And my message that I have today is called Always Protect Your Dreams. That's Always Protect Your Dreams. God has amazing plans for our lives. He created us to have goals and dreams, to continually evolve the greater heights of what he wants us to be. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." With the dreams God gives us, we must also use his wisdom and know how to protect them from outside forces. Proverbs 13:3 says, "Be careful what you say and protect your life. A careless talker destroys himself." We don't want to destroy ourselves or our dreams. Instead, we should let the dreams Jesus puts in our heart cultivate before we tell too much of it. I always love what Mary did in the Bible when she chose to treasure the great things foretold in her heart. Luke 2:17-19 says, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." We must treasure our dreams in our heart and ponder on what God has promised us. By doing so, our dreams stay stirred up in our hearts and minds without everyone knowing about them yet. Along with protecting the great dreams God gives us, I have four ways to help them to come to pass while we are pondering them in our hearts. Number one is to keep our expectation in God. We must maintain our expectation that what God promises will come to pass. Romans 8:25 says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." By staying focused on God and in a determined mindset to expect from him, it will kickstart our dreams to manifest. Number two is to recognize our dreams. Joseph was known for interpreting others' dreams with God's help, but would tell his brothers his dreams without knowing what they fully meant. We must ask God to help us to know and understand the dreams he has given us before we tell anyone else about it. Number three is maintaining a good attitude. In the Bible, Joseph maintained a good attitude even while he was in jail. He even asked others, "Why do you look worried for?" I don't know about you, but when I'm not feeling that way in a certain mood, have you ever asked someone, "Are you look worried today?" That meant that he was in a personally good spirit because he was able to help others. He reached out to help others like we should do, even when we're going through things. And while he waited for his own dreams to happen, He chose to have a good attitude. If we choose to have a good attitude like Joseph, like Joseph, God will give us favor with people in every circumstance that we are in. While we can't always choose the circumstances, we can choose how we react to them and choose to trust God. And number four is to dream big. It is just as easy for God to give you us our greatest heart's desire as he would a new dress or even a new pair of pants. Dreaming big dreams is a part of our spiritual DNA. I'll repeat that again. Dreaming big dreams is a part of our spiritual DNA. It's rooted in hope. It's fueled by faith. God doesn't just allow us to dream. He created us to dream big, think big, imagine big, because he has big plans for our lives. So I pray that today and every day, you will protect your dreams while trusting all that God is doing behind the scenes. Dream about what God can teach you. Dream about how God can change your situation. Dream about how high you can go and how many people you can help. If you will just continue dreaming, you'll see the joy, your joy just increase. Ask God to give you a dream that will not only bless your life, but bless the lives of others. And then as we do so, as he puts in our hearts to do, we can trust him to do the rest. God bless you and dream big today.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you so much, Amber, for that word that you gave today about protecting the dream, protecting your dream. I thank God for that word. I thank God for Joy's word on spiritual driving, and I thank God for that one of protecting your dreams. Apostle, I just want to say this about where Amber's word that came forth, where she had on protecting your dream, about keeping our expectations in God, recognizing our dream, maintaining a good attitude, and dream big dreams. I was listening to a program where the lady was talking about the dream, and she had gotten kind of where she was about to, she was losing her confidence in God, and she was just going on, and she was talking about how she just was just kind of disturbed in her spirit, and she laid on her couch to go to sleep, the Lord let her begin to hear one of the ministers on TV, and she started listening to his programs on YouTube, and he was talking about dream big and don't limit God, dream the impossible. So she had a decoration company, the Lord placed in her heart, ask me something big. And the biggest thing she could think about was that she wanted to be able to be a part of the team in decorating the White House. She wanted to be one of the decorators at the White House. And so she didn't know nobody who could tell her that or what she could do. But so she put that out to the Lord. She said, Lord, this is my dream. And the reason I'm sharing that is that there may be somebody here that God is challenging you to dream big. There's somebody here that God is challenging you to write that vision down, that and say, what is it that you really, really want to do? Make it so big that only he could be the one that bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And so when I heard this one, and she put down that she wanted to do the White House, and she said that for this, one of the things, because, you know, faith is an action, it's a verb, it's a verb word. She said that the first thing the Holy Spirit led her to do was she wrote a letter. She didn't know Ivanka Trump. Or Melania Trump at that time. They had just got into the White House, she said, and she didn't know them personally, but she wrote to them. And she wrote to Melania, who wasn't yet in the White House. She was over still living in her place in New York. And so the Lord led her to write Ivanka and led her to also write Melania, the president's wife, and said that she would like to be a part of the team that decorates the White House for Christmas, for that Christmas that year. And she said she looked up, and when she got one day, she looked up, and on her email, she was invited to be one of the decorators at the White House. But not only, this is, what somebody would say, a little small-town person that nobody knew, but she had been in the decorating one, and to some people it might not look like she was all that successful in doing what she was doing, but she would ended up not only being one of the White House directors, there were seven decorators, there were 70 of them, but she was the one that was chosen to decorate that biggest tree that they get every year, and her dream came true. So when I heard Amber ministering on her word today, it came in my spirit that there is somebody. I know that the Lord asked me after I heard the lady there, he said, tell me what your biggest dream is, Helen. And he said, write that biggest dream down. and even had a tried to get me to do a photo of what my one of my biggest dreams is. I'm not telling you as Amber said, we need to protect our dreams. Mary protected her dreams, treasured her dreams. We have to protect that dream. It doesn't mean that we got to tell everybody what the dream is, because everybody, some people may laugh at you. And some people, there was one lady very quickly, and I will stop, Apostle and Pastor Mom. There was one lady who's a daughter of a very well-known minister, and she wanted to be able to preach in services like Joyce Myers. So what she did was she put her, transposed it and photoshopped her head over onto Joyce Myers' head, where she had all these people in the, you know, all those thousands of people in the audience, and she transformed, you know, put it, and she put it on a wall. When she did that, they started laughing at her. People would come, they laughed at her. But do you know, she is now ministering to the same thousands of people like Joyce Myers did, and nobody's laughing anymore. And so the one thing that whatever it is that God is telling you to do, whatever your vision, because some of you are so great entrepreneurs, you have an entrepreneurial spirit. What is it that God is telling you to do? Does he want you to be the CEO of your own company, reaching people around the world? What is it that God, in a dream that only he can bring to pass? So I just challenge you today as we close off today. And then as we close, the last part that I'm to do today, and I'll turn it back over to Apostle and Pastor Mom, is that if there's anybody here who has not received Jesus as their Savior, Lord, and God, has not received him as their commander-in-chief and their commander in faith, and today you might be listening now, and you may be listening many years ago, because the Word of God says in John 3 that we must be born again. We need to be saved. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we would be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. In fact, Christianity has been called the great confession, because Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. He also says, if you confess me before the angels, and he said, if you confess me before the angels, I'll confess you before my Father. There's one where he says, confess me before the angels, and one says before his Father. And the angels will rejoice when you give your heart and life to the Lord. So if there is somebody and you're listening today, whether now or many years from now, and you say, I didn't know what that term born again means, but you can be born again and saved, even this day as you pray this prayer with me today. And I want you to pray this with me. What you say with me as you ask Jesus into your heart, ask Jesus into your life. Remember that that's what came back to me just now. We can be, it often has been said that if we stand in a garage, it will not make us a car. And sitting in church and hearing about it will not make us a Christian. For 20 years, I thought I was a Christian, but I never once remembered confessing Jesus with my mouth. I never once remembered that and asking him into my heart. I just thought that because I was in church and going to church and I got baptized that I was a Christian. But I was never led into prayer. So I want to lead you by the Spirit of God today in a prayer to receive Jesus Christ into your heart and into your mind. Would you repeat with me, please? Dear Lord Jesus, this day I ask you to come into my heart, to come into my life. I do believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I do believe that God raised you from the dead. This day, I repent of all my sins. I no longer want to go the world's way, my flesh way, but I want to go your way. This day, I ask you to come into my heart, to come into my life, to be my Savior, my Lord, my God, and of my salvation, the captain of my faith. And I thank you now in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, according to Acts 20 and verse 32, I commend and commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to keep, guard, defend, preserve, and protect you. And I give glory and honor to God for each one of you. Thank you, Apostle and Pastor Mom, for inviting us to be a part of your service today. We turn it back over to you and give glory to God for you, for each one of you. Apostle?
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor Price and Minister Joy, Minister Amber. What wonderful word we got today in the name of Jesus. And we thank God for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Really enjoyed you, Minister Joy, with the spiritual driving. Really enjoyed that. Taking notes over here. I think I got about 3 good pages of notes. I was writing them by hand today. Amen. And, and I want to say this as I'm talking. If you want to make any comments, you have any questions, you have any prayer requests, press your number 1 key. Praise God. And we'll open the line for you because I want to just make some comments on the word today. Like I said, with Minister Joy, spiritual driving, I really like that. I think I could even preach that with the scan, identify, predict, decide, and execute. Amen. That's really good. And then when I think about when I drive, that's really what I do, you know, without even kind of thinking about it too much after all these years of driving. But, yeah, you can just about tell when somebody's about to get into your lane and, you know, they don't have a signal on or anything, but you can kind of tell. So, amen. Thank you for that. And then even spiritually, you can see some things, you know, coming up, scan and identify and see it. And then that makes me think about part of, I'm going pretty fast here, but I also think, well, I'll just go on into what I was looking at with Pastor Price, the basic training in spiritual warfare, just being able to identify or scan, identify, predict, and decide and execute. It reminded me of this time I was staying with a friend of mine, and we are still close friends today. And but that day, we were at odds with each other. I had said something, and in fact, I had prayed for her son's girlfriend, and she didn't really think the girl needed to be prayed for. She has since changed, okay? She doesn't feel that same way. But we were going through on that day, and she kind of wasn't speaking to me, but I was just being quiet, and we were in the same room together. And as I sat in this room, and she had her back to me on the computer, and I was sitting there, and I saw, and the blood of Jesus is over this, I saw this demonic presence, and it looked like several black things parachuting down into the room. That's what it looked like. And I saw it very, very clearly. And I just sat there quietly and, you know, pleading the blood of Jesus over it and not giving it a right to do anything there and, you know, and all that and just praying. And then I stood up and I headed for the kitchen. And when I stood up and headed for the kitchen, she started screaming, "Kizzy!" And I looked back at her, and my arm was out, and the dog was biting my hand. And so the spirits that had come into the room had really jumped on this dog. You know, it couldn't get her, it couldn't get me, but it got the dog. And so the dog was a pit bull. So, and you know, if it's really if they can really do what they do, their jaws lock around your hand or lock around any a body part that they do. But this dog, it didn't lock. And I believe it was because of the prayers that were prayed. And I looked back at that day, and, like, she had this glass table. And I say somehow by the Spirit of God, I ended up on the other side of the room, on the other side of the glass table. And the glass table didn't break. So I don't know. I really don't know how everything happened, but I know that God protected me that day, even though, you know, the dog bit me. And I still have the scars on my hand. I was looking at it, you know, when you were talking about animals and everything. And I look at the scars on my hand, and the way that I look at those scars is that they're general scars. You know how a general has these different stripes on them and stuff. And that's how I look at that scar on my hand, because I know God did something that day. I know the enemy had a plan, a plot, and a scheme to come after me, but it did not prevail. It did not happen the way that the enemy wanted it to happen. And I know, you know, and in fact, I recall that day that I was just laughing. You know, I mean, she got the dog off of me, took the dog, you know, into another room and everything. And she was praying for me, you know, praying over me and putting stuff on my hand and everything. And I was sitting there laughing because it was like, devil, I saw you. I saw you, and you couldn't do what you wanted to do. And anyway, so that's what I thought about. With the basic training in spiritual warfare. Praise God. Then on top of that, the Lord had me to forgive the dog part of the story. We'll go on, because I did forgive the dog and her. Amen. And we're still friends today. Amen. And so this spiritual warfare, basic training in spiritual warfare that the Lord has you doing, I know it's for such a time as this. God is really doing something right now, and we need to be prepared for everything that he's doing. God has you saying this in a rapid fire, saying it fast and putting out the scriptures and everything, because everything that you're saying, we will need. If we don't think we need it right now, we will need it, and I know it with a blessed assurance. Amen. So, hallelujah. And then while we're talking about the spiritual warfare, just to let you know that Pastor Price is going to be on Get 'Em Radio this Thursday, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. And she's going to be with us the entire month of September doing a boot camp, and it's going to be basic training in spiritual warfare for the entire month of September. I think we're going every Thursday night. So we're going to do just a little bit of a interview with her on this Thursday, and then we're going to jump into it, because she has a lot, God has a lot to say through her. And I even believe, even if we don't catch it all right now, it will be recorded, it will be archived, the podcast will be out there for anyone who wants to go back and listen and really take their time and study. But God has filled you, Pastor Price. He has filled you, and what he's filled you with must go out. Amen. Hallelujah. Into the atmosphere. We praise God for you. Then we want to thank God for Minister Amber as well. Protect your dreams. And God is giving us dreams right now. I mean, really big dreams. I talked about the wealth transfer. Yes, and God is transferring the wealth to those who have the dream. Amen. It's not, he's not just going to give it to us for us to heap it up on ourselves or to say, oh, look at me, I got $1 trillion. But when we use it for the glory of God with those dreams that God has given to us, and he will provide, you know, for those. So thank you all so much, just so blessed by the word of God. And I really appreciate the Memphis Covenant Faith taking the time, Memphis Covenant Faith Church, taking the time to come and to be with us today. And even with Minister Amber multitasking between our church and another church. And we praise God for all of that. Amen. Amen. I don't see anyone with their number one key pressed. If you do have it, please text me and let me know. Briefly, I'm going to tell you what's going on in the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. I'll look to see if anyone has their number one key pressed. Let you know about that. If I don't see any number one keys pressed, Pastor Mom is prepared to give her comment, and we'll have Pastor Price come back and close us out in prayer. Amen. You want to give your comment now?
Yes, I think my program was very nice and given tonight, today.
Amen.
And I enjoy it. Sometimes I took a nod wrong, but it worked good for me.
Amen. Amen. It was good. Everybody was good.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So to let you know what's going on the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts, on tomorrow, we have our Bible teaching with Dr. Lorraine Navarro, Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. That's going to be tomorrow, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Every Monday, we have Dr. Lorraine Navarro, praise God. And she's really gifted in pulling out the Word of God and just showing us how to be able to dig into the Word of God. On Tuesday, the last Tuesday of the month of August, we have Praying in Tongues Tuesday. And that's going to be 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. And if you'd like to volunteer to pray in tongues, just text me and let me know. We'll put you on the schedule. And you can pray in tongues for 15 minutes at a time. We have 4 volunteers, and we pray for about an hour. And then we have interpretations that are totally awesome. God confirms one interpretation with another, and we don't even talk to each other to, put all that together. It's God who's talking through us. Okay, on this Wednesday, September the 1st, we don't have a service, but our next Wednesday service will be on the 8th of September, and that will be prophetic healing, and it will be 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. So please set your cell phone alarms, put us on your calendar, September the 8th. Healing, and if you need healing or you know someone else who's in need of healing, please come on, because God is really working by his Spirit. He's healing, hallelujah, on that broadcast. And he reveals some ailments that are going to be healed before the broadcast. And what God reveals, he heals. Glory to God. And then on Thursday, this Thursday is September the 2nd. We'll have our dear Pastor Price with us, basic training in spiritual warfare, hallelujah, the boot camp. So meet us there, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern on this Thursday and every Thursday in September with Pastor Helen Price. So please spread the word. Let your friends know about it, because we all need spiritual warfare and to know these basics, even if we've been doing it for years, like I have the past 30 years I learned about spiritual warfare. I'm still learning and still growing. And, you know, and even if a person is new in spiritual warfare, this is great for those who are new, those who are well acquainted. It's all good. Amen. Amen. Next Sunday coming up will be the first Sunday in September. Hallelujah. As the year marches on. So next Sunday, you know, we will have our tag team preaching. So come on, make sure that you come, bring a word with you. You can bring a word from the Lord. Give us a topic, a scripture, and bring a word. I mean, you heard these young ladies today coming in with a topic, a scripture, and a word. Amen. You can even go in your devotionals and share your devotional with us. You have 5 minutes. You can preach the word. You have 5 minutes. And we really want to hear from you, because even though, you know, we know the word of God, but we also know that the word of God is in you. And we would love to have you to share. If there's a song that you want to be played, let me know in advance. And we'll get that song queued up in our studio. Praise God. So let me know, and you could talk about a song that the Lord is giving to you and that has blessed you. We would love that as well. So just we want you to share what the Lord has through you. Amen. And, you know, our services next Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. That's the East St. Louis Christian Center Church, where Pastor Mom, Pastor Willie B. McCoy, is our senior pastor. Amen. So I don't see any number one keys pressed right now. Oh, this is what I want to say. Pastor Price, before we go, if you can let people know how they can, if they want to hear the your church service, especially what you have on Wednesday night, date night with the Lord, and right now you're into the boot camp or your date nights with the Lord, you can tell people how they can get to you that way. Actually, and also on Facebook. Or if they would like for you to come and minister, you know, let them know how to get in touch with you as well.
Praise God. Praise God. Were you ready for me to do that?
Yes. Yes. And then after that, you can close us out in prayer. And I want to thank you for all that you did today. Even the prayer of salvation, just beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate you, and we look forward to you guys the next fifth Sunday, whenever that is. I haven't looked it up to see when the next one is, but amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Apostle, and thank you, Pastor Mom. I thank God for this time and for all that you have said, everything that you shared. I praise God. You know I'm going to use it about the dog. I thank God. That's just another one of the parts in that with that. I thank God for all that you did and what you said. I have an email address, which is Helen, H-E-L-E-N dot Price, P-R-I-C-E, the number one, at gmail.com. That's my, the way you can reach me is helen.price1 at gmail.com. And then also my text number, if you want to text me, my text number is area code 901-267-2023. That's my text number. And I'll say that again, 901 267-2023. And then if you want to text. If you want to know about our date, we have a call. We have what we call a date night with Jesus on Wednesdays, where we come together around Jesus and his word. And we have that boot camp, that basic camp, basic training in spiritual warfare. And that is on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock Central Time. And the way that you can find that, of course, is on Facebook. And also you can text me if you'd like, and I can text you the link back and get back with you on that. So God bless you all. I thank God for tonight, for today, and for all that God has done. Again, along with you, Apostle, Pastor Mom, all the saints there at East St. Louis Christian Center Church, for Joy, Ministers Joy and Amber, and Minister Amber, thank you all so much for all that the Lord has done in and through you. And above all else, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, precious Holy Spirit. I thank you, kind Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, for being in our midst today. And I thank him for the move of his spirit. I'm going to ask if Joy will do our closing prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and if Amber, will she come back on and do the closing benediction and dismiss us today. Glory to God. Joy, are you ready? Take it. I can't hear you. Try it again, Joy. Now it's not showing up again. Are the lines open, Apostle? For Joy,
I'm sorry.
Hold on.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Joy. Excuse me.
Amen.
And Minister Amber, would you do the closing prayer and benediction, please?
Yes, Father God, I ask that you will bless all that are listening right now and will listen in the future. Father God, bless us all with desires of hearts, Lord God, and heal everyone in their bodies. And Father God, thank you for doing miracles in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now to him that is able to keep us from falling and to redeem falling before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may now be dismissed.